Well, I'd like all the children to know that I am timing everything very carefully for them. So it's very nice to think that they've been willing to come with their parents. And I know that I have met so many little children and they come with a glad heart as well, which I think is rather wonderful. And in a sense, I think you'll have more enjoyment out of your toys because you're willing to come and praise God. I'd like to thank many in the congregation too for the many good wishes that we have had as a family. And I've always the easy way out of saving me sending anything except in the new year to you all, to wish you a happy and a blessed day as we remember the birth of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. The three things today combine together, don't they? It is the Lord's Day, the day appointed by our God, and we remember this day is the day of the resurrection, when Jesus Christ raised from the dead, and for every day since then, every week, we've remembered this, and that is our Sabbath. It is also a very special Sabbath day because it is the day that we remember on the 25th of December the birth of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, which makes really the resurrection possible in any case. And so we remember it in a special way. There's something else as well, and it only happens every so often, and that is it is the last Sunday in the year. And I always think that that's something rather special as well. The last Sunday morning service and the last Sunday evening service of the year. So in a way it is very special altogether. But all that doesn't mean much unless the presence of God is with us in our congregation and in our midst here. Well, I've chosen a text for this morning. And it isn't in the usual place for a text, but it certainly is suitable, and especially for the day that we live in. And it's in Ephesians chapter 2, and verse 14, and the first five words of that verse. Chapter 2 of the Epistle to the Ephesians. For he is our peace. For he is our peace. Let your mind and your heart stay upon those words for a moment and ask yourself, is that true of you? For he is our peace. Well, we could answer back and say we live in troubled times, wars, the effects of terrible wars, violence in our own land, terrible violence, different parts of these islands, and violence in the hearts of so many in any case. In other parts of the world, starvation, other parts that we'll be remembering as we have our closing collection as we go out, Christian people who suffer bitter persecution and wouldn't dare meet as openly as we do here, but have to meet in dens and caves of the earth and in forests and dark places. Yet they today with us praise our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And yet Christmas Day, the Lord's birthday, comes around in its time. Every time like this. And we remember the birth of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And it is always suitable to say that he comes to troubled hearts. And yet he's come to this world in order that you and I might have peace with God and peace in our hearts. Let me remind you of some of the verses in the song of Zacharias in Luke 1 and the end there. I just quote one or two verses from that. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. He is our peace, to guide our feet, and they need to be guided, don't they? In the way of peace. And that we might know this peace with God, the peace of God within our heart as well. And so in the midst of turmoil, the desire of God is that you and I might know of the heavenly and of the divine peace. And once we have it, that we should not allow anything or anybody or any situation or anything that might be to snatch away that peace from us. The real peace, peace with God, can never be taken away. But the ordinary effectiveness in the feeling of it and the practice of it in our daily lives sometimes can be dimmed. And here we are encouraged that this peace should not be allowed to be dimmed, but that peace we have with God should be a consistent peace in our daily living as well. That's really my message for you this morning. He is our peace. Three little headings and just three little points with each one. Let me give the one that is at the beginning of the verse. He is our peace. Who is he? Jesus Christ. Shall we give him a title from the Bible? The Prince of Peace. He, the Prince of Peace. We begin there. He is our peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you search for your peace anywhere else? I would not in any way diminish the joy of the gifts that we've had today. And I think it is a very lovely custom that we have in giving gifts to one another, because in so doing, it is our intention to show our peace towards one another and our love towards one another. We do that. But we only do it really as a shadow and a memorial of this great thing, the greatest gift of all, that we should have peace not from these things, lovely as they are, but even if we had none of these things, and even if we lived in a regime where these kind of things are limited and perhaps even forbidden, I don't know, and terrible restrictions, that we are still able to rejoice because the real thing remains, peace. We derive our peace not from our circumstances, not from our money, not from our position, not from our status, not from our popularity, not from our talents, not from our emotions and our feelings. We derive our peace from the Son of God. Now, what qualifications has he? May I just remind you of them? He is one person. And yet, in the remarkable thing about Jesus Christ, he has two natures. One nature we describe as his perfect deity. He is equal with God the Father and God the Spirit, God the Son. And so that they are co-equal in the unity of the divine Godhead. He is God the Son of God. There he shares with the Godhead all the qualities, all the powers, all the attributes, all the talents, all the gifts, all the abilities that are in the Godhead. There they are in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is able to say, I and the Father are one. They can be identified as different characters, and yet there is a unity which is a mystery in the Trinity of the Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Perfect deity. Perfect deity. So the person that we are going to get our peace from has got perfect deity. He's with God in creation. He's with God in eternity. The palm of universes and more are in the, or the creation of them are in the palms of his hands. For our sakes, in this little solar system and in this planet Earth, and little beings that we name ourselves human beings, and yet we're able to consider our existence. We're able to consider the glory of creation. We're able to consider the worries, whether they're big or small, in our own hearts, that he took also upon himself another nature, but he takes on perfect humanity. Perfect humanity. He too was tempted, as ordinary humanity was tempted, but in his temptation, he did not fall. Mankind fell. But when he was tempted of Satan, he did not fall. He has perfect humanity. He took on the form of a servant. So we have those two things about him. He is perfect deity, perfect humanity. And there they are together in one person. They are not blended. They are not a mixture. They are not a hodgepodge together. They are there together in one person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now then, anything of any spiritual worth comes from him. There is no one else comparable to him. No religious leader, no religious founder, no philosopher, no psychologist, no anything, no scientist, no mathematician, no poet, no literary person. There is no one, whatever his gift, talent may be, no one comparable to him in abilities or in powers or in anything. In fact, there is no comparison at all, because you could say they are all lying somewhere on the floor of this earth, whilst he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the author of time and the holder of eternity. There is no comparison. So anything of spiritual worth must come from him. Anything less is of very little value. The Christian faith involves God with us, and the Christian faith involves us with God. That's why our faith is called a revelationary one. It is unique. It's not us struggling to find God. It's God revealing himself in time to us. That's the glorious thing about it. The Prince of Peace. Listen to Isaiah as he puts it in chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So this gracious, glorious, wonderful Son of God, his aim is to bring to us peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Listen to what he said to his disciples at one time in a very beautiful chapter in John. Peace I leave with you. My peace, not a temporary peace, not a floating peace, not a lovely, happy little peace we have for a while with gifts and relationships and so on. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Prince of Peace. That's one thing. The second thing is this: every worthwhile thing in this world, somebody has paid for it somewhere along the line. The price of peace is the second point then. Everything has a price. But this price is immeasurable. You see, the penalty for our sin, our unworthiness and our ugliness is so terrible that there is no one that is able to pay the price and survive. No one. The wages of sin is death. So it is an immeasurable cost. And so you might say, well, who can pay such a price as this? We can look up to the north, south, east, west, and we will not find anybody that has the capabilities or the desire to face such a consequence as this. A man might even die for another man, life for life, but who would be willing to die for all the filth and all the sin of all mankind? And so we find that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What do we find then? We find then that this Prince of Peace is the only one able to do anything. And he is able, and also he is willing. He is able to bring peace to your heart. He is willing to bring peace to your heart. In the context of the chapter, of the verse where my text is, he is our peace. In verses 12 and 13, we have these words: that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the commonwealth of and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. That is a description of multitudes today, my friends, to our sorrow. Without Christ, without hope, and without God. Having many things: influence, power, position, talent, all the whole things that belong to mankind, but yet without God, without hope, and without Christ. That is their situation. You might say, here is a very gifted man, here is a very rich man. And you look at him again, and you raise the, if you like, the glasses of faith, and look at him and say, I do not see a rich man, I do not see a gifted man, I see an impoverished man, I see a poor creature. What do you say about this very, very important person, or very gifted, or very clever, or very something? He is without God, without hope, and without Christ. No peace with God in his heart. Many things without the peace of God in his heart. Then in verse 13 he goes on to say, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Here now comes the Prince of Peace. And the object of the exercise is to bring peace of heart into our life, in death, in eternity, that we might have peace with God. Now what is this? Here is a divine excursion that he comes and with the blood of Christ. Why the blood of Christ? Why is that God be poured? He pours it that he dies on the cross. Why? So that we might have peace. How is that so? We have offended God, and God is offended with us. Who can make peace with God? No one but Jesus Christ. Who can pay such a terrible penalty as I owe before God? No one but Jesus Christ. So he comes back then to the centrality of his person. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we find that in the penalty paid there, listen to Ephesians explaining itself in chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. What does it mean? Instead of me being punished, he is punished. Why is he punished? For my sin. What happens to my sin? The penalty is paid. How does that leave me as a forgiven person? How can I acquire this forgiveness? By faith and repentance in Christ. That is the Christian faith. Faith and repentance in Christ. And the Prince of Peace is able to forgive us our sin. We are right with God. And we are able to turn, as it were, our faces toward God. And we have peace with God. A peace which passeth understanding. In war, the turmoil of war, we have peace with God. In poverty, we have peace with God. In persecution, we have peace with God. Nothing is able to take that relationship away from us. It is there and there forever. It is a work of grace that takes us to glory. Then lastly, the pursuit of God. The Prince of Peace is the one, by his mercy and his grace, brings to me the peace of God. The price is paid on Calvary. I do not pay it, he pays it. But you and I come by faith and repentance. Now the pursuit of peace. We should be people with peace in our hearts. Search your heart this morning. Firstly, have you that experience of the peace of God? If not, you are lost this morning. Even though you're in chapel remembering his birth, you are in a lost state. But even as I speak, you can quietly, and yes, secretly if you like, you can just yield your soul and your heart to God and ask for mercy in the name of Jesus Christ. And if there is there true faith and repentance, you too can be born anew this day. This second, by the grace and the mercy of God. What a day to be born again in. Then the pursuit of peace. There should be in our hearts a peace that nothing is allowed to take it away. Let me give you another text from Isaiah. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. That is, the work of Jesus Christ on Calvary, working righteousness for us. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. What a tremendous thing. The work of righteousness brings me peace with God. The effect of it brings me quietness and assurance forever, which is another way of saying the peace of God holding my heart, the peace of God holding my emotions, the peace of God holding my mind, the peace of God holding my thinking, holding there a great and a glorious relationship, so that in our daily walk, not only have we a relationship with God, of peace with God through the Prince of Peace, but we are at peace. Peace of mind. Peace of heart. You have it. Do we exercise that? The first primary one never changes once you are in Christ. But the other one, sometimes we can allow our mind to neglect the peace that we have and allow our heart to forget the peace that we have. But it is there. And in any troubled situation, all we have to do is to remind ourselves of this peace of God which keeps and garrisons our minds and our hearts. Do you think that is true? Shall I finish with a very ordinary illustration from something you must all or mostly have experienced this time, buying presents and so on? You go to a shop and you buy some, maybe an electrical equipment, a radio or electrical clock or whatever it may be, something like that, or some other article. And then after you've paid, they say, there is also with this, and they give you a little ticket, sign this and send it to the makers, a 12-month guarantee. And they say to you, supposing you don't know what that means, you say, well, what does that mean? Well, it means that if anything goes wrong with this article that you bought today, that the makers have got such a good name, they want to keep their good name, and they will honor their good name. And so if something goes wrong within the works of this particular article, we will put it right for you. We guarantee this for 12 months. Some articles, they are so sure of themselves, they guarantee them for 5 years. There are some who have great confidence in their commodity, and they guarantee them for 20 years. That is so with some particular things. But there is a limit of time, however much they may guarantee them for, there is a limit of time, be it 12 months or 20 years. There is a daily maintenance that is there available if you should require it, only to ask for it. When the peace of God is in our hearts, there also comes, if you like, a little agreement. What's that, Lord? He said, well, this is your guarantee. What does that mean, Lord? This is a little thing that reminds you that if ever you feel your heart is low, or if ever your mind is troubled, that because you have peace with God, because you are mine, because a great price is paid, there is this guarantee that there will be maintenance all the days of your life. Then when you're in heaven, of course, you'll be in the heart of maintenance. But all the days of your life, there will be daily maintenance. All you have to do is make your request known unto God with thanksgiving and supplication. And you'll find that in your situation, the peace of God will keep your heart and your mind. Will it work, Lord? I have a good name. I have perfect ability. Yes, I am able and I am willing to do this. Would you turn away from such a tremendous offer, the peace of God in our hearts, in our salvation, and then the maintenance of God as we bring everything to Him in prayer, that He keeps the effect of this peace in our minds and in our hearts and in our lives. He is our peace. Is He your peace? Peace, perfect peace. In this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace, by thronging duties pressed, to do the will of Jesus, this is rest. Peace, perfect peace, with sorrows surging round, on Jesus' bosom, naught but calm is found. Peace, perfect peace, with loved ones far away. In Jesus' keeping, we are safe, and they. Peace, perfect peace, our future all unknown. Jesus we know, and he is on the throne. Peace, perfect peace, death shadowing us and ours. Jesus has vanquished death and all its powers. It is enough. Our struggles soon shall cease, and Jesus call us to heaven's perfect peace. Let us pray. Our gracious and our heavenly Father, we thank thee that we can come to thee in his name. May the peace of God be ours for thy name's sake. Amen. Our closing carol is number 176. 176. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. 176. With the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all forevermore. Amen.